Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Philip Brashotis, naturopathic doctor and associate professor. We've been talking about mushrooms and their medicinal health benefits, and before the break, we discussed lion's mane and cordyceps mushrooms. And if you missed that, just visit thehealthyhabit.ca, click on interviews, and scroll down to mushrooms, and you'll be able to re-listen to the first part of the interview. So, Doctor, moving on, Coriolis would be our next mushroom that we would discuss.
Right. So we start with Coriolis, but really we're going to group four mushrooms together here.
Okay.
So we're simultaneously addressing Coriolis, Reishi, Shiitake, and Maitake. Now, this is a mouthful because these are really revered. We focus on Coriolis. Collectively, these four mushrooms have several hundred human studies. It's probably over 500 or 600. The single most researched one is the Coriolis, but all four of these mushrooms are researched in the same area. They're used in sort of the same way. So as far as the science is concerned, they all deliver really similar outcomes, but the research focus has been on Coriolis. And what these outcomes are, this is where we get, like, these are really powerful tools in the tool bags of a naturopathic doctor. These are, their claim to fame is the area of cancer. Now, oncologists generally do a pretty good job of scaring people into not taking anything natural while they're undergoing cancer treatment. Yet we have hundreds of human studies that have administered any one of the four mushrooms we've mentioned during chemotherapy and during radiation. And they achieve a broad array of outcomes that should get people really, really excited. So great evidence of showing they are very safe to take in conjunction with conventional cancer treatment. And the outcomes they deliver are profound. So the big ones outright, they prolong life, they reduce adverse effects of chemotherapy and radiation, they improve quality of life through these treatment processes. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
We'll narrow the focus in a bit. A really well-known side effect of essentially all modern chemotherapeutic drugs is they start destroying a cell called the neutrophil. So the neutrophil is a very important cell that's part of your immune system. So it's a known side effect. Hey, you'd rather deal with the side effect than have the stage 4 cancer progress. But known side effect of modern chemotherapeutic treatments is you start getting very profound reductions in circulating levels of neutrophils. This is well known. This is monitored. If and when the neutrophil level drops below a certain point, the chemotherapy has to be discontinued until the neutrophil level recovers. This is not a good thing. If you're dealing with an advanced cancer process, you want to be able to take your chemotherapy as it is prescribed. So this break because of low neutrophil levels is a really detrimental thing. These four mushrooms we're talking about, one of the really important outcomes they deliver is that they maintain neutrophil levels through chemotherapy treatment. So this is partially likely why they are prolonging life and improving quality of life, because you don't have to take these treatment breaks because the mushroom is maintaining neutrophil levels.
And the percentages, I mean, it's not just 1 or 2%, is it? I mean, it's significant.
Oh, they drop
for survival and so on.
Oh, it's really big outcomes, like really big. In some cases, doubling survival. You know, the group that didn't use the mushroom has an average survival of 12 to 16 months. The group that took the mushroom has an average survival of over 3 years. Like these are quite profound. You're not talking about modest little impacts. You're often talking about, yeah, quite profound numbers.
And with now, if I understand correctly, there's an immune suppression going on.
Right. So they help certain aspects of immune function, and that sort of relates to why they're able to maintain the neutrophil level through chemotherapy. A second role of these mushrooms, separate from their co-administration in cancer treatment, is certain aspects of them helping with viral infection. Now, this is obviously a very hot topic in this day and age. And there are natural medicines that have evidence for preventing and treating colds and flus. We would not put the mushrooms in that category. The specific viral infections that the mushrooms have very good human-level evidence for include HIV, and they include HPV. HPV is human papilloma virus. HPV causes warts. HPV is what is being looked for when women go for PAPs. So HPV infection of the cervix can eventually lead to cervical cancer. So these two viruses have great evidence of mushrooms really helping the situation. HIV is defined as, over time, declining levels of key types of immune cells, notably T cells. You start giving patients with HIV any one of these four mushrooms we're discussing, and it's been shown to help maintain T cell levels in that population. HPV, you gather a group of women who are positive for HPV on a PAP. You give them placebo versus one of these mushrooms. You know, 6 months later, 90% of women on placebo still have the HPV, and it might be 40 or 50% of women receiving one of the mushrooms that still have HPV. So it helps resolve cervical HPV infection in women.
Now, is that the grouping again, doctor, of the Coriolis, Mitake, Reishi, and Shiitake, or would one of those specifically target those viruses?
Best of my recollection, all four have shown certainly the HIV data. I would have to go back and scour and see which ones actually possess they all have the HIV data.
Yep.
Not sure if all four have HPV, but certainly some do. And interestingly, I want to come back to these. There's more I'd like to say about Reishi, but on the topic of these viral infections, now is when we would mention Chaga. And Chaga has become really, really popular, and we don't have an issue with it. It's just the science hasn't caught up to the history. Okay. So these four that we're talking about, Coriolis, Reishi, Shiitake, Mitake, literally have a library of controlled human studies. Chaga, as far as human research goes, is in its infancy. It has a little bit. It does have, based on what we were just talking about, it does have a human study showing a pretty good outcome for cervical HPV infection, which is a really important result. Yet the other four mushrooms, dozens into the hundreds of human studies, Chaga is in its infancy. It has a small handful. So it doesn't mean it's not as good as the others. It just means the science hasn't caught up yet.
So as a group, this is going to be very helpful in the cancer and the viral environments. Now, do any of these specifically alone and by themselves, what would be the benefits, let's say, of Coriolis just on its own? Now, we're talking about the group. The synergy of the group of these is one thing, absolutely.
But I group them up just because the outcomes that are studied are very similar. Usually when they are studied, it's just one being used at a time.
Okay.
And we highlight the Coriolis because Reishi, Shiitake, and Mitake for cancer may have 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 studies each. Coriolis has into the hundreds. So Coriolis by itself in advanced cancer process has, I'm going to say, 150, 200, maybe more human studies. Mm-hmm. Whereas Reishi, Shiitake, Mitake, each of them, each looked at individually, have a dozen, two dozen, three dozen.
Yeah, okay. So like they're doing different things as well. Like they're supporting the immune system. There's evidence of lung and respiratory support with some of these.
Absolutely.
And others are producing white blood cells in that immune support.
I would say like all four of them have been shown to have that effect of maintaining neutrophil levels through cancer treatment. All four have, and all four have been shown to prolong life and improve quality of life and reduce adverse effects of chemo and radiation. And I would say those are the four big outcomes we focus in on when we talk about co-treatment during cancer. I did want to come back and revisit Reishi.
Yeah, I was going to come back to that. Yeah,
so herbalists, true traditional herbalists, would be kind of upset of how I've described reishi. Yes, it has all that awesome human science, but the history of use for reishi is incredibly rich. And so just purely on traditional use, and we will sometimes use it like this, it's like what we talked about with cordyceps. The word we give something that has this awesome effect on the adrenal gland is we call it an adaptogen. Reishi is definitely considered a very important adaptogen. And then some. It just has, it's known as the spirit mushroom. It's known as the mushroom of immortality. Historically, it is so highly revered and used across an ultra broad spectrum of indications. We do like to use it in things beyond what we've discussed. We will use it in that setting of adrenal fatigue. Does it have human level evidence of impacting cortisol? No, yet we're confident it delivers that outcome. We will use it in people that just, we call it debility. They're getting sick a lot. They look frail. Well, reishi really shines in that environment as well. So it's wonderful to be able to say we have this wonderful human level evidence for co-treatment during cancer, for HIV, for HPV, but their impacts certainly go far beyond that.
Yeah, they call it the king of herbs, I think, don't they?
We know it as the mushroom of immortality.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I know chaga, too, when you're talking about chaga, like it's been used by the indigenous world for centuries in traditional Chinese medicine.
It does have a strong history, and I wrap it up last because it has the least human evidence of all the ones we've discussed. And again, that doesn't mean it's not equivalent or better. It's just simply, as far as the clinical data goes, it's still in its infancy.
Who can use mushrooms? I mean, can any age doctor, any situation?
So there's a wonderful thing that happens in the world of natural medicine when we talk about safety, and you just have a radically improved safety profile. You really don't, you're not concerned about safety when something has millennia of history of use, especially as a food.
Yeah.
So people ask me, can I use this in pregnancy? Can I use this? Well, maitake and shiitake are eaten around the world, principally in Asia, daily in very large quantities. So inherently, the safety profile there is kind of unquestioned. It's the same as when people say, what about safety of fish oil? Well, on average, your average individual in Japan consumes an amount of fish that we would consider an aggressive dose of a fish oil supplement. So you have millennia of history of this being consumed in large amounts and it proving to be very safe. So especially for the, really I get asked this question, well, what mushroom could a pregnant woman take? And instantly I turn to shiitake and maitake just because they're foods.
Very safe. So, doctor, any summarizing statements? I mean, we're coming to the end of our time, and any conclusion to this topic?
Absolutely, Dave. Number one, I think these mushrooms are grossly underutilized because we don't have enough knowledge of them here in North America because most of the data is coming from Asia, and we just have a bias that we don't pay attention to Asian science. Number two, they need to be hot water or steam extracted. Cannot stress that enough, and a little upset that certain subsets of the industry are promoting just powderized or tinctured mushrooms. They need to be hot water or steam extracted. Number three, these are reasonable, like the reishi or the maitake or the shiitake. These are very reasonable things for people to consider just to take as tonics daily, long term. And number four, their clinical claim to fame, the data is insurmountable about their help in through cancer processes, what they do for individuals with HIV, and that they also deliver good outcomes for human papillomavirus. And let's not forget lion's mane for brain and cordyceps for debility, fatigue, exhaustion. We rely on them heavy in clinical practice, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to try to educate others about what these awesome things do.
Yeah, doctor, it's always a privilege to have you here. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me, Dave. I hope we get to do it again.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Philip Pershotis, naturopathic doctor and associate professor at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. And again, if you've missed part of the show or if you've gotten distracted in some way, you can revisit this interview by visiting the healthyhabit.ca and click on interviews and scroll down alphabetically to mushrooms. And while you're at the website, subscribe to our e-newsletter where we keep you informed of health information, product knowledge, and special offers. The subscription is free, and that's at thehealthyhabit.ca. So thank you for listening to Insights for Health, and visit us at The Healthy Habit, 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, where we help you help yourself with your health.